Hey everybody, I'm Larry Jacobs. This is 3K12 Education Talk Radio on the 23rd of August 2021. Really nice to have you here with us today. My guest today is going to be Vanessa Castaneda Gill, and she is an autistic advocate, okay? And she's CEO of a game-based social-emotional learning platform for kids with autism, basically, and the professionals who work with them. It's called Social Cypher, and it's at socialcyphergame.com. We're going to have a nice conversation with Vanessa in just a couple of minutes. First, I just got to do a little homework here. As you know, that we are the voice of the American Consortium for Equity in Education over at ace-ed.org, ace-ed.org. Join with us over there, please. We want the voice of K-12 educators and all the folks interested in education over there talking about equity. ace-ed.org. This podcast and all of our podcasts are archived over there, and you'll go over, you'll see our beautiful online journal called Equity and Access. Believe me, flip through that. You won't be disappointed. Everything's over at ace-ed.org, and everything we do over there is free. So please join with us, okay? We really want to hear from you, ace-ed.org. And as I said, Social Cypher is a socialcyphergame.com, and Vanessa... Hey, Vanessa, were you the CEO? Were you also the founder? It's Larry here.
Yeah, hey, Larry. Thanks for having me on here.
You are more than welcome.
I'm the CEO and co-founder.
Say that you are one of the co-founders? Is that correct?
Yes.
Yep. And who's the other one?
I have a co-founder named Lucy Stevens. And she is our lead artist, their social-emotional learning manager, wears a lot of hats. Yeah.
Cool. Very, very good. And, you know, I introduced you and you wrote me this as an autistic advocate. Okay. Are you yourself autistic, or how are you interested in that?
Yes, I am. So I found out that I was autistic and also had ADHD when I was 14. You know, yeah.
Good for you, and you decided to do something about it. That is just great, okay? And where are you located, Vanessa? Where are you?
I'm in the Los Angeles area.
Nice. How's the weather there today?
It is bright and sunny, so, you know, can't complain.
Good, and hope you get outside and enjoy yourself out there. COVID or not, just protect yourself and have a good time. So tell us what Social Cypher is. And by the way, but over to the website, it's very cute, socialcyphergame.com, and it begs the question, it's a lot of animation here, and a lot of the animation looks like it's for younger kids. I may be totally wrong there, okay? Do you see it as something for the younger kids? Do you see it for something all the way up through 12th grade and beyond?
Yeah, so we are actually targeted at middle school and high school students, and a lot of that has to do with you know, reading levels, with the situations that are involved, all of the, you know, social interactions in it.
Sure.
Keep
going. Go ahead. So,
I'm happy to keep going. you know, for us, I mean, for me personally, I found out I had these things when I was 14, and that was really one of the most challenging things growing up, right? I had a lot of difficulties with my own self-esteem, with my own identity, understanding self. All of that, had a lot of mental health issues as a result, because I thought that I was just a broken person. And so I really wanted to target, you know, these adolescent age sort of youth, because it really does make sense in terms of that, like, you know, your social interactions get more difficult. Situations get more intense. Bullying is increased. This social-emotional learning intervention is something that's needed at these ages. It's crucial and critical, and I think that folks have done such a good job at doing social-emotional learning or even social-emotional learning for special education at younger ages, but there is nothing out here for middle to high school students.
Mm-hmm.
And that is where there is work that needs to be done, and that's, you know, where we're stepping in.
Yeah, and you know, I got to tell you, it's hard enough being a middle school kid. I mean, all your emotions are on the outside. I can only imagine, no, I don't want to overdo it, but the hell that you went through as you find these things out about yourself. You certainly are not broken. You're certainly a wonderful person, and you realize that now, but it's tough when you're a kid. It really is, you know, and to see you do something like this. How long has Social Cypher been around?
Yeah, we've been around for about 3 years. We just released the first episode of our game series, Ava, and it's part of an entire, you know, platform with a curriculum and with an entire platform for tracking students and clients, for therapists, teachers, and counselors. And, yeah, we have a fantastic team of folks who are just really passionate. We're actually 40% neurodivergent, so, you know, with our
That's
game
wonderful.
Representation. Yeah,
that's
we want to make
just...
sure that we're reflecting that.
Absolutely, you bring the total empathy into it, and it shows within the games. You said you've been around 3 years, but then you said that this is the first shot out of the box, so to speak. All right, and what have you been doing? What have you been developing everything for the last 3 years?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, it's been we're out here doing something that's never really been done before, right? Which is creating this engaging story-based video game series for neurodivergent youth. And I think a lot of it for us was about making sure that we were striking a balance between being an engaging and fun game series, but also being something that's educational and can provide generalizable skills. And, you know, not wanting to be chocolate covered broccoli, not wanting to be, you know, just another video game, right? And it's huge.
Right, and
so
I can tell by your voice, you know, you love it, and all that sort of thing. So, you intend? I'm getting this now as we're talking. You intend to create a series of games, all right, for kids who are neurodivergent, who are of middle school and high school age. Okay, which I think is just really, really wonderful thing to do. These are the first shots after a long period of development, and I think it's just super, okay, that you're doing it this way. What are the goals of the particular game? What are you trying to impress upon the children that will be using this?
Right. So each of our episodes is based on the needs of the neurodivergent community. So for the first episode, for example, we interviewed, playtested this focus group with over 200 neurodivergent youth and professionals in the neurodivergent community. And a lot of this was just going around and asking for, you know, autistic adults or young adults especially, what was it that was the hardest to learn for you? What is the hardest for you to grasp? And, you know, when we were asking professionals, we're asking, all right, what is the hardest thing for you to teach? What is the hardest thing for you to get to? What is the hardest message or messages for you to get across to your youth? And that's really how we started. And our biggest one by far was trust and building trust.
Oh.
And so that's what we focused our first episode on. So it's all about building trust, advocating for yourself, understanding who is trustworthy, who is not to you, and most importantly, you know, what trust means to you. And so that's the whole thing. That's the focus of our first episode. Each of our episodes are, you know, about focusing on a different social emotional learning competency. Our second episode, which is in production right now, is all about trying new things and being open. And it's really, you know, community developed. It's developed with our community in mind, because that's what we're building for, you know.
Wow, it's so darn impressive to see stuff like this come out and work like this. Where do you see this? Do you see this fitting into school, or do you see this as a home-based operation, or maybe both? How do you see it?
So we actually have started, we've started doing some paid pilots, and we did actually pilots way back in the beginning of the year. And all of that has really shown us that for schools and for counseling centers especially, this is extremely useful. We actually got from our pilots that, you know, 94% of our professionals that piloted the game had enhanced therapy in classroom sessions, and then 100% of our students and clients wanted to keep playing. And so,
in other words, they're using it in school districts. Did I hear that correctly?
Yeah, so they're using it. We currently have it active in about 12 schools and therapy centers.
Wonderful.
It's in private schools. It's in different therapy sessions. Oh, yeah, go for it.
Yeah, it is. And when you talk to a teacher, a typical public or private school teacher, okay, I'm always curious about this because it's a game on screen, okay? How are they using it? What are they telling you? Are they making it just in and of itself, or is it part of bigger lessons?
We are really truly built for flexibility, and so the way that we have built this, we've seen an array of very creative ways that Ava and our game series has been used, right?
Perfect.
So we have this companion application, and we created this in light of COVID. It's essentially a sort of remote streaming platform that allows you to remotely watch student and client gameplay. You can have every student's save profiles, and you can watch them play from wherever you are. You can watch what their screen is, what's on their screen, and how they're playing, and use our big old 75-page SEL curriculum to go deeper with them about various concepts.
Good for you. And who wrote that? How'd you get that? That's very important. How did you get that done? That's amazing.
For sure. So we brought on some professional curriculum writers that have done.
Mm-hmm.
They're actually neurodivergent themselves, which is very cool. And so along with having that personal experience, right, they also have this professional curriculum writing experience, having worked in autism.
I love the way you're working with neurodiverse people. I love the way you're doing that. Would your games work well for students who are not neurodiverse? Now, I know you did them specifically for those students who are, okay, which I think is absolutely wonderful and unique. Could a teacher use it as well for all students? Or is it more specific? Yeah, talk about that.
Yeah, for sure.
For example, I think the question is, as you're learning a social, let's say called trust, as you're learning trust and how to trust people, and what trust is, okay? Is it looked upon differently from someone who is autistic, okay? How do you teach that to that person versus the typical student, okay? That's actually the kind of question I'm asking. What's the difference in there? And I don't know the answer to that.
Right. So in our pilots, we actually had about 40% neurotypical folks, students and clients that were involved, and teachers and counselors still saw sort of the same results, that they felt more engaged. They felt more motivated to learn social emotional skills.
This is key. I like that. So neurotypical folks enjoyed it and learned as much, but it also works great for those children who have neurodiverse situations.
Exactly.
I love that. That's key stuff. All right. And a teacher can see what the students are doing while they're doing it and watch along with them. And when it's all said and done, does the teacher or therapist get some sort of report back?
Yeah, it's actually something we just got a grant from the Vela Education Fund order to actually build a dialogue tree reporting feature. So basically, in our game, where the magic really happens is where you have different dialogue choices that you choose with each of the characters, each of your pirate characters, right? And for us, those dialogue choices are going to show a lot about where a student is and how they're behaving and where they may need, some work, where they may be strong. And so we actually are developing a way to show a tree of all the dialogue options, what a student chose versus what they didn't choose, and make that into an exportable report.
Right. This is really something, and I have to say this again. You are somewhere on, you said, mentioned this earlier, you're somewhere on the autism spectrum, Vanessa. Okay? And I mean this on the bottom of my heart. You are absolutely wonderful to talk to, okay? And you have really put this together well. Okay, I cannot say enough from the bottom of my heart what you're showing by example. Okay, and it's just I'm moving my hands here with all the emotional attention here. I mean it's just absolutely incredible. Over the course of the pandemic, okay, as you worked with the kids and all that, put this whole thing about trust and social emotional learning and your social cipher, okay, into the challenges we have faced with the pandemic when a lot of kids, okay, were alone a lot of the time and, you know, they were not socializing in school, et cetera. I don't know if that's good or bad for the kids in the autism spectrum because I'm not a special education or autism expert, but I'm curious how your game was in relation to the pandemic. What'd you learn?
Yeah.
Or what'd you see? Yeah, go for it.
Yeah, I mean, I think from my observations with, you know.
That's what I want.
And from our interviews, especially with therapists and therapists especially, I would say that, you know, one of the hardest things for them was that these teachers and counselors have to adapt their tools and materials for social-emotional learning for their special education students anyway. And then when you add a virtual element on top of that, and when you add the fact that these young people aren't able to go out and try applying what they're learning to reinforce that kind of thing, then these kids feel stuck, right? They can't, it's hard to be able to practice and understand social situations in your own way when you have no social situations that are happening for you. And then, of course, when you have the added anxiety and fear and uncertainty surrounding a global pandemic. I think that it's what this pandemic has shown is that there is just such a lack of help and resources and tools for neurodivergent and special education youth. There is just so much that needs to be done here, especially remotely. And I think with a lot of these youth, it's been kind of nice, right? Because they've been able to kind of have a little more control over their setting. They're able to, you know, if they're on Zoom, they can, like, there are ways that they can kind of control the environment around them and recharge. But at the same time, you know, you still do need that social stimulation, that continued exposure. And that's, you know, that's what we try to provide with AVA, right, is we are providing these simulated social interactions that, you know, they're not the real thing, but they're a place where you can practice and where you can understand for yourself without any form of judgment or rejection.
And the kids can see that as they react to something on screen, when the real life situation comes along, they can actually kind of see themselves in it, if I may. Give me an example, if you can, just a verbal example, okay, of within the game how you work to create a trust situation. What is the decision the child would be faced with, the student would be faced with?
Sure. I can definitely give you one. So I can give you actually one of our best anecdotes, I would say, is essentially, and this is, I guess, a trust situation where you're realizing a person is not trustworthy, right? And so essentially, in our pilots back at the beginning of the year, we had a counselor. Her name is Cindy. And she was working with a, adolescent age client, with ADHD and, they're playing AVA, they're having a great time. And they got to a pirate that, you know, our main character AVA has the choice of recruiting or not recruiting, right? It's up to her, it's up to the player. They have a character that we specifically designed to not be trustworthy. And not in a, you know, not in an obvious, blatant way, but in a way where it's starting to gradually unfold that maybe this person isn't very respectful. Maybe this person is just trying to get something out of you, you know? And so a lot of the time, you know, it may take a little bit, but clients and students will start to understand and be like, oh, this is not actually a person I want on my crew. This is not a person that I should be building trust with, right? But this client in particular just continued to make choices that were really concerning to Cindy, right? She just kept appealing to him and appealing to him every chance that was given to kind of realize, oh, this maybe this person isn't so great after all. Just flew past it, right? And so Cindy was actually so concerned that she called a meeting with the student and with her parents, and was like, you know, I didn't notice until we started playing this game, but there is an issue with self-advocacy here and with who she's trusting, right? And
yes.
They had that conversation, they made an action plan, and you know, who knows when they would have figured this out about the student.
Mm-hmm. You know, I find that that's a great example because, you know, we always think about it, we'll learn how to trust somebody. But you also, this is great, I love this, is learn how to trust your instincts, okay? And if somebody's not the right person, how to deal with that, okay? And I think that's just wonderful, okay? I think that's very thoughtful of you guys. I really do. It's just incredible. You know, I just want to read off your website here. SEL skills woven into every episode, created in collaboration with 70-plus counselors, mental health professionals, educators, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, it's just really just so darn important. And you have created, if I may, because I don't know any other companies that are creating SEL for the neurodivergent. Okay, and I think that's very, very important. I work with a college called Landmark College in Putney, Vermont, and it's a school for neurodiverse students, higher education. And it's concerned about, you know, they're concerned about this kind of stuff, and because I work so closely with them, okay, I am concerned about it too. And I think we bandy about all the time, social-emotional learning, that's one of the top things in schools this year. But we're forgetting that select special group, you know, that really needs help with this. You know, they need special stuff, and you bring, okay, their needs to the forefront, having suffered through this, if I may, yourself. But you were just going to say something. I'm really just so impressed with what you're doing.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Yeah, I really appreciate that.
That's true. That's true. What were you going to say? If you remember?
No, I don't really have much else. I was just, really appreciative of that, and I agree. I think we don't really know anyone else doing things like we are.
I don't.
I know.
I don't.
It's super important.
Yeah, and you know, it has to be marketed just like this as a niche product, okay? Because big fish and little ponds, okay, are what's needed out there, okay? Everybody's got the generic. Okay, but to do something that's really, really good for this, and it works for everybody, I think it's really something that's really, really, really cool. Do you feel like, and you went through, did you go to school in L.A.? I don't know.
Yeah, I went to school in sort of the southern, I've moved a lot, so I've been everywhere sort of in Southern California.
Okay, so Southern California schools, all right. And as you were going through school, of course you found out at age 14 you were a bit autistic. Okay, what was your experience like? I mean, in terms of the schooling and in terms of the training of the teachers, did you feel like they really needed help understanding what you needed, the regular teachers?
Well, I mean, to be honest, at that age, maybe looking back now, yes, probably.
Yeah, looking back
but
now, you don't know
age.
Then. You're 14, you know nothing, okay? You may think you know everything, but you know nothing.
I thought there was something wrong with me, you know? I thought that I couldn't tell them about these kinds of things, right? I thought, you know, I had to give one of my assessments to be diagnosed to my teacher, and I was mortified about it, right? And I would never speak it again with him. And
Wait a minute.
You
say
know,
that again. You had to give the assessment to your teacher.
Yes.
Did you say that?
Yeah. I had to go personally hand them the papers with the checkboxes on them from my psychiatrist.
To a teacher?
Yep.
Not a counselor? Not a school psychologist? To a teacher?
Nope.
That's unbelievable.
Yeah,
I don't blame
you.
That is mortifying. That's mortifying to hear about it.
Yeah, it was embarrassing.
You're damn right it's embarrassing. Okay? Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, on that note, that's shocking. Who told you to do that? Wow.
That was I guess just how it worked. I didn't really ask about it. I was like, you know, I was told to just kind of like distribute them in this way by this psychiatry practice, and I was like, all right.
Obviously that is mortifying. I have to tell you, that's so embarrassing and hurtful to a kid. Okay.
It made me feel like something was wrong with me for sure. And you know,
there's nothing wrong with you.
Truth be told, thank you. Yeah, no, I know that now for sure. But
yeah, of course.
I think that, you know, I was at home trying to do homework, and I was in, you know, I'd be in like sixth grade, and I'd be in sixth grade doing sixth grade homework. It would take me upwards of 10 hours, right?
Oh, my God.
And I would just like, and if I couldn't finish it correctly, if I got an A-, I was a straight A student. Like if I got an A-, if I did anything wrong, I would literally hit my head against a wall, you know, and that's, those problems were there, and there was deep self-hatred, unfortunately.
Oh, it's terrible. You know, I guess my point of all this is, you know, there's a lot of kids who are neurodivergent, autism being just one thing when we talk about that, okay, ADHD, whatever, you know, you can go through all that sort of stuff, okay, but, you know, it's the things have changed, quite obviously, I hope, everywhere, you know. But the teachers, and when the teachers are trained, it used to be that they weren't trained very well, okay, in dealing with it. They were trained in their subjects. But they were asking teachers these days, and you should know this, to teach social-emotional learning. They have never been taught how to teach social-emotional learning. We're asking the average teacher to teach a neurodiverse student. They have normally not been trained to do that. Okay?
Right.
And that's not good. And that's why your products, which make life so much easier for them, okay, and so much easier for the kids, all right, it's just so darn important. I hope everybody listening goes over there. Everybody, thank you for this, Vanessa. SocialCypherGame.com. It's really good. It's really good. You did good, Vanessa.
Thank you.
You did good. Okay, we'll be back in touch. Can I follow up and see how you guys are doing?
Most definitely. That'd be great.
I would do that. Thank you, my dear. It's only 9:30 in the morning out there, okay? I'm all the way across the country from you, okay? So it's already afternoon here. Okay, so you have a great day, a happy Monday to you, and thank you for being with us today. Thank you.
You as well. I appreciate it. Have a great day.
Oh, my pleasure. My pleasure. You too. Right. Talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Bye, Vanessa. Wow, Vanessa Castaneda-Gill, okay? Who was an autistic advocate, and instead of just sitting around being an autistic advocate, she actually created, with the help of all these professionals, Social Cypher. And it's at socialcyphergame.com, socialcyphergame.com. Check it out. It's for neurodivergent youth. It can be applied to anybody, but it's specifically for neurodivergent youth, the professionals who work with them for social-emotional learning. Nice niche. I like it. We'll archive at ace-ed.org. Go over there. Check out. See what we do. My name is Larry Jacobs. This is Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio. Thanks for listening.